Hey, Macklemore, can we go thrift shopping?
What?
Charged. Never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition. And I've been joined by a fine guest, all clad in his Packers garb. He is Vegas Joe Sapecki. Joe, how you doing, man?
I'm great. Every day, any day is a great day to be a Green Bay Packer fan. I got to be honest, I completely forgot that it was decision day for Mr. Rodgers when I put this on. And, you know, I'm just a Packer fan, man.
Do you know that Aaron Rodgers is the most hated football player in the NFL right now? And it's not even close. Do you know that, man?
The Green Bay Packers are the most beloved franchise in American football. As they should be. Power to the people. That's what I say.
Well, do you think if we weren't Green Bay Packer fans, do you think we'd have the same sort of love and adoration for Aaron Rodgers? I mean, A-Rod sort of, he misled us about his immunization status, his vaccination status, and then he got the COVID toe and he keeps losing in the playoffs, Joe. You know, maybe we should be the haters.
I think we should move on to something less controversial than the Green Bay Packers and our quarterback.
Okay, man, using the 50-cent words on me. Well, let me tell you, buddy, I read a little article about U.S. Senator Ron Johnson today at thehill.com. And who got quoted? But lo and behold, Vegas Joseph Pecky. Yeah, there
it's
you
me.
Were. They were talking about Rojo's efforts to win re-election. You know, will he return for 2023 like the Aaron Rodgers and the Packers? See how I transition like that?
It sounds like Republicans are pretty nervous about his ability to hold up. That's the genesis of that story that I took away from it.
Well, Joe, maybe it's the New Marquette University polling. What's his approval rating? Somewhere in the mid-30s right about now. Rojo, we reference. I mean, he is perhaps the most vulnerable Republican on the ticket this year in the U.S. Senate. Joe, that's why they're quoting a fine Dem strategist like you from Wisconsin, because it's going to be a hell of a re-election battle for Ron. And Ron, you know, I don't know if he means to do this, but everything from let's repeal Obamacare to let's go meet the freedom truckers. I mean, Ron's trying harder each and every day to kind of out-Trump Trump, don't you think, in some twisted way?
I mean, listen, Senator Johnson has long been on, you know, the sort of targeted races list. Any state that delivered 10 electoral votes or, you know, its electoral votes for President Biden that has an incumbent Republican, that's sort of automatically at the top of the list. Then you take into account all of the controversial statements that Senator Johnson has made, how wrong he is on the issues and how out of step he is with the people of Wisconsin. It's sort of a perfect storm to make this the most hotly contested contest in the country. And, you know, what I keep coming back to is, and I'm like, I'm almost afraid to say this, but the smartest thing he could do is just be quiet, just stop talking, because right now the political environment is not great for Democrats. I think it's going to get better, but, you know, as a Republican running in a year that could be really good for Republicans, I think he would be better off just staying quiet. He can't help himself, though. And you know, so every time he opens his mouth, it seems, he's just reminding voters how out of touch he is. Calling after almost 12 years, this March 23rd will be 12 years to the day since the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, was signed into law. More than 100 attempts by Republicans to repeal it. Multiple challenges in the Supreme Court. It is the law of the land. It is working. It is not perfect. There is much that needs to be done when it comes to lowering costs and expanding access to healthcare. But the Republicans have proven they're not good actors when it comes to this. If they were, they would have come to the table to fix this years ago. Instead, Senator Johnson is leading the charge to once again repeal Obamacare and strip away everything that goes with it.
Well, more as a position of consistency. You know, we Republicans should show you what we stand for. And it's mostly bad stuff, Joe. Now, Rick Scott was sort of villainized for his party platform, his 11 bullet points. And Rojo basically said, well, you know, I might disagree on the fringes, but yeah, I'm down for all this bad stuff. Now, Mitch McConnell had effectively said, we're not telling you what our agenda is. you know, elect us and then you'll see. Well, between Rojo and Rick Scott, they are laying out what the Republican agenda is. And Joe, if it's repeal Obamacare, and let's not forget, Rojo voted for the repeal of Obamacare, and there was no replacement plan, Joe, but he was just fine with that. And his plan now is what? Let's come up with the better version?
I mean, that's the problem, right? Is it's been 12 years, and in those 12 years, we have not seen a Republican plan that comes anywhere close to getting the same amount of people coverage and making coverage more affordable. They don't have an idea of what to do. They just remain obsessed with undoing it because it's a historic landmark achievement for President Obama. And, you know, listen, like on issue after issue, what Republicans are showing is that they're the party of the aggrieved and they have grievances, but they don't have any solutions, right? They want to complain about inflation. They don't have any ideas about how to address rising costs. They don't have any ideas for ways to lower costs for average Americans. They, you know, everything comes down to let's just cut taxes for those at the top and hope that everything else works its way out. That's not a winning agenda. And, you know, it's easy to criticize, it's easy to complain. It's a complicated world. But until they come to the table with, you know, I'd love to see a more conservative alternative to Obamacare, which was in large part modeled after, you know, a plan that the Heritage Foundation signed off on. They don't have it. They don't have ideas. Remember the 2020 Republican National Convention. For the first time ever, a major national party said, we're not going to have a platform. We're not going to tell you what we stand for or what we want to do. That, you know, now McConnell is saying, as you pointed out, we don't want to unveil our agenda for what we will do if we take back Congress. Something doesn't compute here, and it's on all of us and all of your listeners to make sure that people understand that, you know, because there are a lot of Republicans in this state, and a lot of them mean really well, you know, because they're voting Republican, because their parents voted Republican, and that's how they identify, and that's great. But being a Republican right now doesn't stand for anything when the elected officials refuse to tell you what they're going to do, when they refuse to debate proposals made in good faith by, say, Governor Tony Evers, and they decide we're going to gavel in and gavel out rather than debate. They don't have any ideas. They don't want to discuss the ideas that Democrats are putting forward. They're a party that is fundamentally out of ideas right now.
Folks, you are listening to The Devils Advocates Radio Show. Got a fine guest. He brings all the brightest ideas. He is Vegas Joseph Pecky. Joe, were you surprised at all to see retired Lieutenant Colonel Vindman from the first impeachment trial single out U.S. Senator Ron Johnson by name as having blood on his hands, effectively the cover fire he had given Donald Trump over the Ukraine scandal, the two votes to acquit? Effectively, Vindman says, you know, you got blood on your hands in regards to this aggression in the Ukraine. Well, of course, Ron wants to blame it all on Biden's weakness. But, you know, were you surprised to see Vindman single out Rojo?
I was. This is a decorated veteran of the American Armed Forces. As I understand it, still has shrapnel in his body from a roadside bomb in an IED explosion in Iraq, who worked his way to the National Security Council. This is a responsible, sober-minded, you know, leader, and frankly, like sort of a role model for my generation. And for him to, by name, criticize a United States senator in that way was surprising to me. This is not a guy who's like a partisan bomb thrower. And so we have to take it seriously and look at what's at stake. I don't know 1% as much about Ukraine as Colonel Vindman does. Neither do you, right? And so when he says it, you have to pay attention. Go back and read the story from Bill Glauber in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You know, clearly Colonel Vindman was with Senator Johnson in Ukraine. He was on the National Security Council when President Trump was extorting President Zelensky and trying to withhold crucial, you know, weapon systems that the American Congress had said we need to supply to the Ukrainians. Vindman was there. We weren't, and so we should take everything he says seriously.
And there was some prior reporting about this. I think it was the Wall Street Journal. And effectively, it was, you know, the connection of the investigation of Joe Biden and the trade-off, you know, that's what Trump wanted from Zelensky. And he said, well, if he connected those two things, though, that would be bad. Well, he did connect those things. We all know he connected those things. Vindman effectively calling Rojo out because he was there. He was there in the Ukraine. He was at Zelensky's inauguration. He knows. John Bolton reportedly said that that was the very time, the return trip from the Zelensky inauguration, and Rojo was there and Bolton was in the room, and he said that is the point where Trump connected this quid pro quo, you know, the armaments for the dirt on Joe Biden. Now, Rojo, when he came on our show the day after he voted to acquit Donald Trump, said, oh, no, no, it didn't happen like that. But it kind of did, Joe. It kind of did. Is this something that bears rehashing, or does Rojo's constant, you know, sticking his foot in his mouth, the hoof and mouth disease that he apparently is suffering from so mightily, I mean, should we just let him sink on his current weight, or should we remind the American people about his involvement all the way back to the beginning of the, you know, the perfect phone call?
I think the record from the people who were there, like Colonel Vindman, like we learned in the impeachment trial, is all there. If we weren't involved, as you and I weren't, we should refrain. You know, I'm growing a little weary of these criticisms of Senator Johnson. Oh, he was in Russia on the 4th of July. That doesn't mean anything. United States senators go abroad to foster stronger relationships with our enemies and our friends. So, you know, liberals, let's knock it off there. There is enough in Senator Johnson's voting record and his ideas when it comes to our domestic politics to retire him this November, full stop. He voted for a tax cut that was a massive giveaway to wealthy corporate interests. He carved out a special loophole for businesses like his that he personally profited from. He has opposed raising the minimum wage. He is for taking away access to healthcare through Obamacare. Those things right there, we know because he's voted on them. The record is clear. I think we should focus on that. There is a lot left in terms of what's going to happen in Ukraine, and we should all be doing everything we can to support the people of Ukraine, whether that means, you know, biting our tongue and paying a few extra cents at the gas pump, whether that means giving donations to aid groups. There's a refugee crisis, the likes of which Europe has never seen in modern times, going on right now. We need to pay close attention to this. We can't look away. And frankly, what's happening in Europe is far more important than one U.S. senator shooting his mouth off when it comes to what did or did happen, or what you know, what he thinks happened, when we know that people like Colonel Vindman, who were in those rooms, have a different take on it.
Joe, do you have any take on the Democratic opponents? Obviously, there's like some approaching a dozen Dems that want to be the opponent to Ron Johnson. Right now, the polling would seem to indicate Mandela Barnes is the front runner. Alex Lazary has been spending mightily to try and get up his name recognition. He appears to currently be in second place. But Joe, a lot of undecideds, even amongst those that say they're going to vote, they don't know who they're voting for. Do you see this race shaken up between now and August?
Absolutely. I mean, listen, Mr. Lazary is not going to have the airwaves and the mailboxes to himself between now and primary day, right? He is communicating in a vacuum. Barnes, Godlewski, Nelson, presumably some of the other candidates will all pay to share their vision with Democratic primary voters. We got a long way to go. But there's no question at this point, Barnes is the front runner. Lazary is rising. Godlewski and Nelson are sort of rounding out that top tier.
Joe, not only did the Packers re-sign Aaron Rodgers, they tagged Devontae Adams. You feeling good about that combo?
I'll take it. I'll watch 17 football games with those guys next year. Hopefully more.
Hopefully more. And then we'll lose in the NFC Championship, like we often do. It's so heartbreaking, man. Come back. Vegas Joe, Crudy, Evan, you on the phones perhaps as well. 844-967-2789. More Devils. Looking for a comer. This is being awesome.